here's a story from The World.
Britain shares many holiday season traditions with America: Christmas trees, Santa, awkward family reunions. But there is one essential element of a British Christmas that we have not adopted: the ancient ritual of the Christmas pudding. Leo Hornack used to be a producer for The World in London. He has also been known to get up to some experimentation in the kitchen. And this year he took on Christmas pudding for the first time. Leo, good to hear from you again. Christmas pudding sounds so not of the 21st century, and yet it's still with the Brits today. What exactly is Christmas pudding? What's in it?
If you picture like a kind of half a bowling ball made of dried fruit, brandy, breadcrumbs, basically as much alcohol, sugar, and carbs as you can, and fat as you can ram into onto a plate, and then boiled and steamed dark black. Whatever color those ingredients came out of the fridge, they become dark, dark black. And it's dense as well. You know, you can definitely stick a fork into a Christmas pudding and it will support its weight. The other part that's really important about this is you ideally make a Christmas pudding 6 months to a year or even more before it's served.
Wow.
This should have had time to just marinate in its own Christmas puddingness.
Christmas puddingness. So it's sweet, right?
Yes. And this, like many ancient British dishes, has made the slow journey from savory to sweet as access to sugar got easier and easier over the centuries. But yeah, this is the thing: when you think you've eaten way too much already, this comes out as the dessert of the meal. And what happens when you serve a Christmas pudding is you turn the lights down or out. And then whoever's the host comes in with it on a tray with some holly balanced on the top, and it is then on fire. What you do is you heat up some brandy or rum, but probably brandy, and you pour that over, and then you set light to it. So this thing, it comes in like a comet into your Christmas dinner. It's burning. There's a stink of booze. It's probably not the safest thing to do if you've kind of already been drinking way too much.
How old is this tradition, Leo?
It's pretty old. It's about as old as any dish that is commonly eaten today, I would say. I spoke to Sam Bilton. She is a food historian, and she's written a history of the Christmas pudding for English Heritage, one of the main kind of historical organizations in Britain. And she told me about the earliest origins of the Christmas pudding, or plum pudding, as it used to be called.
One of the earliest recipes we have for something even vaguely resembling a plum pudding was called figgy in a book called, well, I say book, a scroll called The Form of Curry, which is the earliest written cookery book that we have in the English language. That's from the 14th century, around 1390. So figgy was this very thick pottage, which included dried fruits, including dried figs, not surprisingly from the name. It looks disgusting, but it tastes lovely. A lot like Christmas pudding, just sloppier. By the time you get to the Victorian era, we start to think more of specific foods being associated with Christmas. So this would have been for them, really would have been the pièce de résistance of their Christmas meal. We still eat Christmas pudding in Britain. The pudding itself, in terms of how it's made, what it contains, hasn't really altered for centuries.
So why is this pudding that had these, she said, disgusting roots? Why is it so important to Britain?
I think one of the reasons is it's one of the few things that really is enjoyed by, you know, the wealthy few and by the many. You can make a version of this dish, which is extremely expensive, with very high class brandy and the most exotic fruits. Or you can use cheaper alcohol, you can use raisins, and you can make a dish that is just as kind of filling and exciting, particularly when you set it on fire, for God's sake, whatever strata you come from. So it's one of the few things that actually unites the whole country. There was an Empire Christmas pudding that was kind of publicized in the 1920s. It became your patriotic duty to make a pudding that represented the empire. And you can see that in the recipe. You know, sugar, where's the sugar coming from? Well, plantations in Jamaica is where the sugar was coming from. Spices like nutmeg and ginger were coming from India and Sri Lanka. Even now, it's a dish that you've kind of got Britain's history really boiled and steamed into it.
Wow. Political pudding. So, Leo, you made your own for the first time. How hard was it?
I started 3 days ago, which sounds like a long time to make a dish, but Sam Bilton, who I spoke to, she described a Christmas pudding she once made that she waited a decade before she ate it, and it tasted better then. It wasn't particularly difficult, but it was time-consuming. I used an authentic Victorian recipe, Sam, the food historian's grandmother's great-aunt Eliza's recipe, when she was a servant in a wealthy house in Victorian times.
Wow.
You're supposed to steam it for 8 hours. I managed 6, and then it was 1 a.m. and I had to go to bed. My pudding has had 6 hours. And what I'll tell you, Marco, is right now I've been reheating it on the stove. I've been putting it back in a steamer for the last half hour. And if you'll kind of join me walking through my apartment, we will go and I'll open it up and tell you what it tastes like.
Have you taken the cheesecloth off yet?
No, it's sitting on the stove right now, and I'm just going to go through to the kitchen.
We need a drum roll here. It's very exciting.
So I didn't make a particularly large one, but it's quite substantial. It took a lot. Okay, right. It's shivering and wobbling in the pan. Here it comes out.
That's a good sign, right? It should be a little wobbly.
The pan is in a little bowl of water that's been boiling away to heat it up. And I've got this kind of metal, it looks like a kind of ammunition top of an artillery shell, which has been its home for the last 3 days. I'm going to turn it over. Okay, now I'm taking the first clip off to open it up. I'm having to protect my hands here because it's all boiling. Oh, and the smell has begun to emerge. Like, I'm getting this like hit of brandy and rum and raisins and things.
How much brandy and rum did you put in?
Like the rest of the bottle.
The rest of the bottle.
So the bottle wasn't full, but yeah, I didn't hold back.
What does it taste like?
All right, I'm taking a spoon out. I'm not going to do the whole ritual, which would be to get some brandy and set it on fire and all of that. I will do that later if it's edible.
Yeah, and I don't want to be responsible for any fires in your apartment, Leo.
All right, I'm just going to tap it to show you the sound here.
Mm.
Yep.
Got it.
Marco, I think I've made a Christmas pudding. This is really unyielding. It's granite-like. It's dark brown and black. And yeah, I think, okay, right, I'm tasting it now.
What do you think?
Wow. I have to say, this is delicious.
Nice work.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it to anyone who's not been raised on this. This is culturally specific, but for me, that is really good.
Leo Hornack, madman in his London kitchen. He's just made his first Christmas pudding. Congratulations on your success, Leo. I hope there's enough left over to share with the family.
This is a success, Marco, and thank you for kind of encouraging me to go through with this. I really appreciate it.
If you're up to the challenge, the Victorian-era recipe that Leo used is on our website, along with visual evidence of his effort. We are at theworld.org.